Mayor Andrew Halverson, the city is still kind of in limbo with their pay study, what to do with it. And really, the city's got right around $30,000 invested in an over year-long project with really no outcome. What is next?
Well, we do have one decision which came out of the special common council meeting of last week, which is that there will be one hearing that the employees can have who have had their grade appeals rejected, who are requesting a hearing. That hearing would be held in front of the common council, a special meeting thereof, after July 21st. That's really the only level of specificity that we were able to get out of the council as we move forward with this process. The chairman of personnel, Alderperson Phillips, and myself spent hours working through all of the appeals to objectively obtain what I would argue is a perfect snapshot of an ascending grade structure for the city, with some changes that needed to be made and some appeals that needed to be granted. But in terms of a working document, the pay plan that we have in place is absolutely correct. Carlson Detman did a great job in the equational work that they had done, the statistics that were provided, as well as the incorporation post-Act 10 of private sector comparables, which I think are extremely important. And I would argue revealed something that was very troubling. You know, we are overpaying significantly some of our employees vis-a-vis the private sector. That's not equitable to the taxpayer, something that this pay plan process revealed. And it's certainly something where our local unions have been very upset by that and have engaged in a lot of lobbying of some of these alderpersons who have attempted and have been successful in casting a shadow of doubt over the implementation of this pay plan. That's unfortunate because it's probably one of the more valid from a grade perspective pay plan that we've ever had. Post-union contracts, we have a salary structure that deals with our hourly employees, that deals with our salaried management staff, in a way that's equitable, with the exception of the pulling of comparables that the Common Council unilaterally pulled out simply because they didn't think these communities were like us, Eau Claire, La Crosse, De Pere, and Sun Prairie, respectively. Eau Claire and La Crosse are larger. De Pere and Sun Prairie are generally the same. In fact, just slightly smaller with De Pere and about the same population with Sun Prairie, but they give you different metropolitan dynamics. And the larger communities give you a different dynamic because anyone that we would have who's capable of holding a higher level supervisory role here with the city of Stevens Point clearly would be qualified to do that in an Eau Claire or a La Crosse. So when you take a broader actuarial review or a statistical snapshot of these comparables, you get a significantly more valid N, in other words, the total number that you have within your statistical calculations, but you have it be more valid from a retention and recruitment perspective statewide. It reduces the amount of time that your employees would be looking at salaries that might be $10,000, $15,000, or $20,000 higher, similar to clearly what our fire chief encountered when she looked at the city of Wausau, which we tried to avert through this process, but the council was unwilling to take a look at reinstituting these comparables. So we stand at a position where we have an excellent pay plan from a grade perspective that is a very workable document. The Common Council made a mistake by removing those comparables. The averages are now very off. So the validity of the steps, the actual salary steps through the plan, are wrong. Those need to be corrected. If that change happens, we have an extremely correct and very workable document to move forward from. I think we will get there, but we have some alderpersons that want to scrap the entire process, want to eliminate and literally throw into the recycling bin this pay plan and walk away from the nearly $30,000 that was invested in it. Horribly inefficient and a very poor use of taxpayer dollars. The work product we have is a very solid piece of work. We have to change those averages that the council is going to be really has to be willing to put back. We're going to show them the evidence that really indicates how far off we are. It's going to be unable to be ignored, and that's certainly the hopeful outcome that we will have. Now, in terms of timeline and setting up the next meeting, Chairman Phillips and I will discuss how we want to move forward with that, from finalizing the appeal process and then simply having a discussion that says, are we ready to accept the plan? Are we ready to understand the statistics behind it? And are we ready to say, this is exactly correct, we have to put these averages back in, and we've got a workable document? And I would hope that we're going to be able to get there.
One of the things that I've wanted to ask the council but haven't had the opportunity yet, and I'm sure you've got some insight on this, let's say, hypothetically, council scraps this entire year-long $30,000 project and they want to start from scratch. Common sense tells me that if you start from scratch with Carlson Detman or any other firm, you're going to come up with a very similar package to what Carlson Detman gave you from the very beginning with the same comparables.
Of course you would, except this time all of the other firms have had a chance to watch how the council has handled this and probably would not submit a response to an RFP anyway, given the way in which this process has unfolded. So you're right. We have a great work product. Why would we get rid of it? Because there are a few alderpersons that are worried about the outcome specifically to one special interest group, as opposed to looking holistically at how we need to retain and recruit the best employees possible. The pay plan, in terms of its foundation, is excellent for that. As long as we change the averages within the steps, we have a perfectly workable document. As long as we keep up with cost of living adjustments to the steps, we let inflation be reflective in the way in which the pay plan changes moving forward in time, we will have a very successful document.
And just to keep the listeners up to date, if I remember right, the general changes with the employees, a lot of your lower and mid-level employees were right about where they belong, but it was some of the upper-level managers that were underpaid. Is that right?
Exactly. We had an inverse relationship between a significant amount of our hourly employees who were quite a bit overpaid based on the average, along with private sector review, in fact, significantly overpaid. When you look at a total compensation package of a streets worker at over $80,000 a year and the closest equivalent in the private sector being $60,000, that's a concern that needs to be addressed. At the same time, when I look at some of our supervisory leadership in the mid-level supervisors as well as the department head level positions paid some $20,000 to $25,000 under where they should be. Those are alarming concerns. But now we hear that we're taking from the unions and we're giving it to management. And that's really not what we're trying to do at all. We're trying to equalize the playing field objectively, reflective of the statistics that we have at our disposal. And that's what's very hard for some to accept who are just unwilling to realize that Act 10 is the law of the land and collective bargaining in the public sector is no longer a reality.
Do you think you'll get to the point where this plan is accepted as originally drafted?
I certainly hope so. I think that's still attainable. We've laid out the statistics. We've tried to make sure that it's being explained correctly. I think it just needs to really become the willingness of the Common Council to accept that the employees deserve an answer. They deserve to understand how the government that employs them is going to be compensating them, regardless of the level throughout our grade structure. This is something that we now owe our employees because it's taken so long, because the council has really been unwilling to accept a work product that's been accepted statewide as one of the leading firms that does pay plans for the private and public sector. So I think we have to move forward in understanding that it's the right analysis, it's the right framework, and this is something that will serve our city well, the taxpayers, from an affordability point of view, but from a retention and recruitment perspective, most importantly, it treats our employees fairly.
You work closely with HR. Have you, your office, and the HR people seen a lot of questions and concerns from employees, both at the top and the bottom of the pay structures, about where this is going?
Correct, and they're looking to me for answers. And this is a leadership team that, in many cases, I've had a chance to hire all of them in the well over 7 years that I've now been here. And as a key core management team, when they look to me for answers that I can't provide them, consistency that I can't give them, valid answers to what the future is going to look like for them from a compensation point of view, I can't be surprised that a city to our north takes one of our best. I can't be surprised when a wastewater superintendent leaves and earns $10,000 more, when a city engineer leaves and has a salary opportunity that's significantly greater than what he had here. My concern is I understand that. My leadership team understands that. We have a crisis from a retention point of view right now because of how far below the averages we are. I need a governing body to start to understand that.